Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Praise the Lord. Isn't the Lord good? Praise God. You know, I was coming and thinking, it's been on me, and maybe there is nobody, but because I've been really, it's been on me to say it. Is anybody in here a wee short testimony you want to share tonight? Anything the Lord's done for you before I bring the Word of God? Is there anyone?
I didn't say something about being sick of Christ. Stay on too.
Amen. I'd just like to say that you're good to plead the blood of Jesus every morning over your life. Well, I drive down an area where there's deer in the road. There's one land dead in the road, and one night one jumped out. But I was coming home one night there, and automatically something says to me, speaks to me, you need to watch. There's deer in this road, you better slow down. And I automatically just slowed the car way down, and there in the middle of the road where I was driving was a deer sitting and it turned away and you couldn't see his eyes. And I had to hit it dead on. And I went around it. And I remember saying, don't worry, I'll not hit you. And I got up and it went off into the ditch. So I say that's the grace of God for me. And I give the tribute to God for prayer. Amen.
Anyone else a testimony?
Praise the Lord.
Well, God's good, isn't it? Remember my dad telling us one time, I don't know where it was, he was going to work, but the voice spoke in him and said, pull the car to the side. Mm-hmm. And he pulled the car to the side, and the boy came round on the wrong side of the road. And if he had been further forward, he would have cleaned him. God's good, isn't it? Amen. Hey, man.
Tell me, sorry. Just whenever Philip said that, and when Tommy's talking about what his dad experienced, you want to sit down and you can get up again, because this is only going to take 2 minutes. But listen, there's a man who I met years ago, and his name was Tony King. He's passed on since, and he got some of Brother Branham's books, and he started to read them. And he started going to the meetings where people was preaching the gospel, but they also followed what Brother Branham taught. And he got some of Brother Branham's books, and he started to read them. And his boss told him he would have to work on Sunday. And he said he wasn't working, he was going to church. And his boss said, well, if you're not here on Sunday, you'll have no job. And he lost his job because he wouldn't work on Sunday. And he decided, somebody come tell him and asked him, would he take the Alpha course? Now, no disrespect to the Alpha course, I don't know much about it, but he said, yes, I'll take the Alpha course. And it was a whole program that you go through and you get all the leaflets and all the doctrine about it. And he had went to one or two classes in the Alpha course, and he still had Brother Branham's books. And he was driving up the road in his car, and he said something spoke to him and said, pull over to the side and get out. And he pulled his car over onto the hard shoulder and he got out. And when he got out, his car was, I think it was a Saturn. It went on fire. As soon as he got out and closed the door and stood back, it went on fire and burned itself till a cinder and burned a hole in the road. And there was a book, one of Brother Branham's sermons, was in the car. And it didn't even have the smell of smoke on it. Not a mark on it. And the Alpha course was in ISIS. And you know that wee hymn that we sang there, when I saw the cleansing fountain? I sung that hymn 50 years ago. And when I come to the second verse, I said, Lord, I'm singing it, but I don't know if it's true or not concerning me. For I had still all my ambitions. And there wasn't any of them in ISIS. I still wanted to do my own thing. You know, the Lord has great patience with us. But just what Philip said and what Tommy said, and I'm not taking up any more of your time. I told you to sit down because I think I was injected with a gramophone needle. Some of you is too young to know what that is. It makes you talk. But wasn't that a strange thing that happened to Tony King? And someone said, pull over and get out. Well, you know, if it was a sitter and done the right thing. I'm saying no more. The book that Brother Branham, there wasn't even a sins on it. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. I tell you, I spoke to that man. I spoke to Tony King, they called it. Praise the Lord.
Anyone else? Where am I? God's good, isn't it? I remember Tony King, you know. Tony King and Brother John to go and share his testimony about the angels. And I had a friend that preached then at them meetings. Sadly, backslid, big fella McCarthy, who's a policeman. I stayed with him and his wife. Me and him went to Canada together in 94, how do I think of the year? 94, we went to Canada together, me and that big fella. And, you know, the interesting thing was, I have the leaflet, John probably has one himself, but there's a photograph of John in his Wellington boots, the farmer. But I don't know if John remembers, but one time it was me and John, Davy McConville, it might have been Paul Moccasin. Or no, Keith Moccasin. We would have been brave and young. And that wee man prophesied over John, me and the fellow Moccasin. And he prophesied over John, you'll not always be wearing Wellington boots. God's at work for you. And you'll be travelling. And then there was a poster made with John. Because he specifically mentioned the farmer and them Wellington boots and that prophecy, I can remember it. I don't remember every word of it, but isn't it powerful how God does it? And well, John's been to Australia and America and New Zealand and other places. And when me and John was over the last time at John McFadden's, not the last time, but one of the times, Philadelphia, there's a man came to me and he says that, isn't your Uncle John? I said, that's right. And he said, well, the meetings he preached here have been translated into another language away somewhere else. I don't know where it was. But you don't ever know where it goes. Amen. And God's word goes into the whole earth. Isn't God good? God's good. God's word's the truth, isn't it? Praise God. Well, I want to try the night to continue on from this. Let's read, first of all, Hebrews 1 verse 2, and then we can be seated again. Let's stand for a moment. Praise God. Let's stand for a moment. Hebrews, let me just read verse 2 tonight, and you can read through it. I'm trying to stick just in the first few verses. I was tempted to go pick a bit out here and there, but then I did so many things done out, and I deleted them, and I done it again, I deleted them. And I was back in the room the day again, just to get something. I had stuff done out, but I wasn't happy. And I just want the Lord to give us something from these verses. Verse 2 of Hebrews 1. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he have appointed heir of all things, for whom also he made the worlds. Let's bow our heads, and if you ever need the night, just lift your hand up to the Lord. Praise God. God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for your truth you've showed toward each one of us. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll bless the service tonight. Bless the brothers that testified. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies. Lord, you overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. Cover us with your blood tonight. And Lord Jesus, close us in with time with yourself. May the Holy Spirit be here in a free course. And Father, we ask that you'll lead us especially at this time. The instructions you've given us and said, tell us each one that we'll be in your perfect will, Lord Jesus. You know what we've need of, each one. Provide her every need, meet every need. I pray for Mrs. Bruce tonight. Lord, that you'll touch her, that you'll grant her mercy, grant her grace. Pray that you'll speak to her, Lord Jesus. Bring her to the saving knowledge of the truth. We ask you'll cover her with your precious blood. In Jesus' precious name. And move upon her, we pray, Lord Jesus. And Father, save each one, give us all household salvation. In Jesus' precious name. And Lord, if we've spoken amiss or out of place, forgive us, sanctify us, and cleanse us with your precious blood tonight. And bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. God bless each one tonight. This is a tremendous scripture. You may have seen a tremendous scripture on whom he appointed heir, and lawful owner of all things. That's what we're reading. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, God has said to appoint his son heir, we're ordaining in his eternal counsel, God in his eternal counsel, that his son should be heir. God ordained it from the way before anything was. God ordained it. Just like God foresaw you, God foresaw me. By his foreknowledge, foreknowing, the Bible says whom he did predestinate to become the sons of God. He foreknew us. He foresaw us. And even the Lamb of God was slain from the very foundations of the world in the mind of God. It was done. So God had a plan in his mind and a purpose, a way before even the world was made. And God's plan and God's purpose will come absolutely to perfectly the way he's ordained it to come. Now we can't see all that picture, that we're just people, but God has a plan for each and every one of us. And he ordained his son to be heir. Acts 2:23 says, him but fully delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain. It was a determined counsel and the foreknowledge of God that Christ would be slain, that Christ would go to the cross. And I know the Jews could blame, and I know they played their part, but it was all God's plan. It was all God's plan that Jesus Christ would go to the cross to bear our sins, to die in our room, in our stead, and in our place. It was God's plan. 1 Peter 1:20 says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Now, by sending him into the world, or by giving him to be incarnate for that very end, and when I say that, I mean that God came in flesh. God actually came in flesh. I think I mentioned it a bit this morning. God came in flesh and he took our place. Philippians 2 verse 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I'm going to say a bit more about that later on in a few minutes. Praise God. Even the very death of the cross. Be rising him from the dead and setting him at his right hand in heaven above. God ordained it. God knew it. God done it. Acts 2:36 says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. He's both Lord and Christ. This word appointed show of the right that Christ have to his supreme dignity and deity. That which is said of Christ being priest. Hebrews 1 verse 5 also says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Men agree that the surest title known on earth is that by inheritance. That's by inheritance. Now remember, he's heir of all things. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 1 verse 2, is heir of all things, and all men will agree of an inheritance on earth. Now, but this here is by the divine pleasure and decree, the Son of God comes into possession forever and ever of all things that are his. He's heir of all, of everything. Now with men inheriting a fortune is an occasion often of the development of an inheritance of selfishness. Some men can inherit a fortune and they can become millionaires or billionaires by inheriting an earthly fortune. But by inheriting an earthly fortune, maybe might not be a good thing for some people. We know in the Bible, in Luke's gospel, you have the poor man, the rich man, and that rich man, somehow in his life, he had inherited a fortune, but he went to hell. But the poor man went to God's paradise. That was Abraham's bosom. Then, he went to that paradise. Now, also that's inherited. But Christ, while possessing, listen to this, and I went over this today, and this struck me, and it hit me, about this, because when you inherit it, you're hurt and everything. You inherit all. This is a two-sided sword, this here. You see, while Christ, while possessing, even in Gethsemane, the power of self-deliverance, absolute. Now, understand what I'm telling you. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane had the power of self-deliverance. He has inherited all. He's in full control. But he rejected it. And he rejected it even unto death. The path of selfishness wasn't his. In other words, Christ drank the bitter cup. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, let my will be done, but thine. He could have let the cup go. He could have done it. He could have denied it. But he did the will of the Father, and in doing the will of the Father, he gave up all. That he drunk the bitter cup. Now that bitter cup just wasn't the sufferings and the prayers. That was the full wrath of God that he drunk. All our sin, all our guilt, everything that we're guilty of, Jesus took it all. And when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he wasn't praying for himself. He was praying for me and you. And every single one that would come. And he prayed till he prayed great sweat drops of blood from running down his cheeks. The words alone we cannot fully describe the unselfishness of Christ's devotion was to the very end. I'll tell you, there's not many men like that. You know, you're in a situation where somebody could say something and you'd be relieved, or they could say something and sink you. You ever in that situation? And you'd say, well, I wouldn't do it. Peter done it. Peter denied the Lord, but it was written that he would do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ never failed at any point. He wasn't selfish. He denied everything and he went the whole way to the cross. He did the Father's perfect will. John 18:11 says this.
Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Now this wasn't a cup of relief. This wasn't a cup of pleasure. This was a cup that he was going to bear our sins, our iniquities, everything that we were guilty of. He was taking it. Taking it all at the cross. The Son of God proved what he claimed. In John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus did the will of the Father, didn't he? That's why he saw the miraculous. That's why he seen it. He says, I only do what the Father shows me. Does not show us tonight that it's God's will to heal. It's God's will to save. Jesus only did what the Father showed him. And he went about doing good. And healing all that were sick or oppressed of the devil. So he was, that's the Father's will. Mark of sweats fallen down as blood in Gethsemane, where the Father gave him the taste of the cup of wrath for our sins. Our sins was laid upon him. He was even forsaken. Some preachers don't like that, but I'll tell you, it's the Bible. He was absolutely forsaken by God. Psalms 22 verse 1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? The Lord was forsaken. He suffered and died alone on the cross. And yet he inherits all things. I'll tell you, he wasn't selfish. You're going to see tonight the suffering he brings us into. Because he wasn't selfish. He stayed lost. He steadfastly set his face to go up to Jerusalem. He's proven him fit and safer of all things. God proved Jesus Christ safe and fit to be heir of all things. No mistake in what God's done. He shares with those he calls his brethren with the same infinite readiness. We're his brethren tonight. Now, I'm not talking about the brethren round the corner, God bless them. I'm not talking about that, because a lot of them think the only ones going to heaven. But I have news for them, they're not. There's other brethren. And they don't need a title at the front door to say they're brethren. But there's Jesus Christ has other brethren. And there's those that claim to be brethren and they're not brethren. But they never were born again. Amen. Romans 8:17 says, and if children then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, will we also may be glorified with him. Hebrews 2:13-14. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold I and my children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That's the devil. Jesus Christ came to destroy the devil and his power, so that we could have part of his inheritance. And we have part of his inheritance tonight. He's not somebody that's greedy. But Jesus Christ obeyed and suffered and died alone because he knew there was more brethren. There was more to come. God had a plan for more. God was a father, so he had to have children. And Christ paid the price that we could come. Not only that we could come, but Christ is heir of all things. And we're part of that inheritance. What an inheritance it is tonight. That we're heirs with God. And we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's some inheritance we have tonight. That'll be the earthly one. You could be a billionaire down here. And a pauper on the other side. You could spend your lifetime here with so much money you don't know what to do with it. Now I know, look, don't get me wrong. I'm sure every one of us could agree. Maybe we could do a bit more money at times. We can do things we want and desire to do. And I believe God can meet the need. But if you were a billionaire tonight, and you weren't saved, you'd be going straight to hell. But if you were the poorest person in the world in natural terms, and you had Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'd be an heir with God and joint heir with Jesus Christ on your way to heaven and home. You would really be rich. Not with this world's goods, but with what the Lord has. You'd be rich. Rich. Christ steps in among men. Hebrews 10:5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. I tell you, he condescended, he came down, he lowered himself a little lower than the angels, who took upon him the form of a man, and he became obedient unto death, suffering right the whole way to the cross. Yes, the Son of God has fellow heirs. And God speaks to us redeemed sinners, delivered from the pit. And we're redeemed sinners. Every one of us was dark, black sinners. And the Lord's redeemed us from the pit. Romans 8:16-17. I'm near finished tonight. And I tell you what, I could have preached here a long time and I'd had lots of stuff. But I deleted a whole lot, everything I had. And I started again. I just want a few things to encourage you that we are heirs. That's all I wanted from this verse tonight. And if I can get you to see that you're an heir with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The spirit of self-birth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:17. And if the children then heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Isn't that wonderful? We are heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible says, him that hath the Son has life. When you have got Jesus Christ, you've got life itself. Living here in this world, you could be a billionaire, you mightn't have life. Now, I know some rich men, but they don't intend spreading it. You know, they're keeping it for themselves. And they've all this world can offer in ways of vehicles and houses and everything, but they're doing nothing for God's work. They're not interested in the work of God. It would be nothing to them to throw out 200,000 or 300,000. Nothing at all to them. They could throw money around them like confetti. Wouldn't even bankrupt them. Wouldn't affect them. But they'll not do it. They'll not do it. But the thing is, when they go to the grave, all the cars and their houses and the money, it won't be going with them. There is no bank in heaven they could transfer to. But the sad reality is they will lift their eyes up out of hell, being in torment. It's not an awful thing tonight that we could have all you want down here and nothing on the other side. And look, it's good to have someone down here as well. I'm not against it. I'm all for it. But what's it really mean if we don't have the Lord? Look at the many great buildings. I know we're praying for a building and all them things, and that's good. Look at the fancy buildings there is around this country. And some of them don't even preach the slightest bit of gospel. They're only lodges. And they raise money and they spend thousands on the steeples and towers of the buildings. There's one in Bambridge there. I'm not saying anything against them, but there was a lot of money spent on the wee steeple bit on the top of it. It would have built you some church with the spent on that wee bit that sticks up into the air. What it's for, I've no idea. Total waste of money, in my opinion. It doesn't represent anything in the Bible that I've ever seen what God put forth. The tabernacle of Solomon's temple looks nothing like that stuff. That's the truth. But yet, a lot of money spent on it. But what for? You know, William Branham said, he says, when he talked about money, he says, just imagine a missionary somewhere out and they haven't even shoes on their feet. And people's wanting to build these
multi-million buildings. And people out in the mission field, no hardly shoes in their feet. Something's wrong. It's not the truth. And we know they can't say the day what the disciples said, silver and gold have we none. There's a lot of them can no longer say that. But they can't say either, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. They can't say that either. Galatians 4 and 7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We are sons of night. We are an heir with God through Christ. Because Christ is heir of all things, and because we believe in him, we are heirs with him. Amen. We have untold riches in heaven tonight. Now, just a few things I want to tell you here, and then I'm going to get Brother Gary to come. And believe it or not, it's near 10 to 7 anyhow. To die without Christ, to what will be heir? You'll not be heir of anything to die without Christ. You'll be heir of nothing. An eternity with nothing. For Christ has been appointed heir of all things. The proud millionaire, maybe a billionaire, is with us today. For a few years he's rich and then he leaves it all. And is poor forever. That's what it means to that man that's not saved. While some humble servant of his, who's called in Christ, he might only be a doorkeeper in a billionaire's house, but if he's called in the name of the Lord and he's saved, he's richest in heaven. I remember a wee brother and woman telling me many years ago when I was a wee lad, she says, Tommy, you'd better be a doorkeeper in the Lord's house. The big boy that lives up in it, you'd be better at the doorkeeper, she says. Wouldn't it be great if you only get in? What you're saying is, it's great to be saved, but you could own it all and not be saved. And you know, there's still some houses in this country where there was big places, there's still a few of them about, I'm sure. And you'll notice at the end of their lane, there's a wee cottage. Not very big. That's for the wee boy he lived in that looked after the place. He had a wee bit of a place, you know. Maybe only two bedrooms in it, maybe only one. But he was the wee lodge man or doorman, whatever you want to call him. He looked after the big mansion. He was in the wee house. And there was a big mansion. But I'll tell you one thing, the Bible says he's gone to prepare a place for us. Amen. Dying steps. The rich man dying steps into an unspeakable. The saved man, he'll step into an unspeakable, glorious eternity with the Lord. But the unsaved won't. Into a glorious eternity. Richer than anything you've ever seen in this earth, far above you could ever think or ask, is heaven. Why? Because he's an heir of God. And he's a joint heir with Jesus Christ, who's appointed him heir of all things. Christ is heir of all things. Our trust in the Lord tonight. Now, having said that, Solomon was the richest man on the earth. He was a man of God. Moses was actually a rich man. There's many men in the Bible that many Job. We talk about Job, a perfect man. Job was rich. Job was actually a very rich man. And God didn't make him poor. Want you to hear me? So we come to close. God did not decide after he tested Job. Job passed the test. Because he was the type of Christ. The devil stripped Job of all. God permitted it. Now God didn't say to Job, now that's your lot for the rest of your days. No, God doubled everything. He doubled them. If you are faithful to the Lord will still bless you, even down here.
The Lord will bless your substance. He'll bless all you have if you are faithful to the Lord. And the Bible says if we are faithful in the small thing, then God can appoint us over the big thing. Amen. And God sees everything. Let's stand on our feet tonight. Praise God. And pray. And then our brother Guy's going to come and pray for me this week. I'm going to preach at Seskenor Friday night. It's quite a rundown. It's a wee independent group. They have a great wee building down there they got some years ago. Trevor, I've been trying to get him to come here because he's so many testimonies. Healing and things the Lord's done. But he never seems to get this length up. Well, the only thing we'll maybe handcuff him, Gary, and bring him up tonight. Praise God. God's good, isn't it? But you pray for us. We'll be here Thursday night and we're going to find out about Scarborough Hall. And I know it's still maybe not a big difference, but the difference is there'll be nobody jumping in around the back of us on Thursday night. Because it's two separate buildings and it's called a community centre. So if you invite somebody, you're not bringing them to Norwich Hall. We should write IA in the end of that, whatever it means, you know what I mean? You know, when you're writing a wee note, a bit more in it sort of thing. But anyhow, I'm just saying, but I'm telling you, we need to get a place of our own. We need to pray, put the fleece out, as John says, and don't be afraid to do it, and just pray. And you don't know, God could touch an oil billionaire's heart somewhere. And he could throw us a few million. You would never know. Anything could happen. May he grease his elbows, Punky says. Amen. God good. Praise God. Fella said to me, what would you do if somebody come to you with, I don't know what amount of money it was, and if he got it this way and that way. I said, it'd break his arm at the joint to get it. But God can, God can give it. Think of how the Lord's answered you in smaller things. God can answer in the bigger things. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and truth you've showed toward each one of us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, your word says the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. So Lord, we acknowledge you in all our ways tonight, knowing you'll direct our paths. We pray you lead and guide us over this next few days, weeks, months. And Lord, as we prepare for Brother Andrew to come, we ask you'll bless him. We pray you'll move mightily in the meetings that people will get saved and you'll bring people in. In Jesus' precious name we pray. We ask you for everyone in this house tonight to bless every single individual. And for those, Lord, that couldn't be here tonight because of work or situation, bless them. Pray for all the nurses and all the doctors. Bless them and keep them and watch over them and strengthen them. We pray again for all those in authority that you bless and keep. And Lord, we know that you've trumped where he is for a reason, for a purpose. And you've spared him and saved him again, even there just the other day. Lord, we give you the praise and the glory. We pray for your children, Israel, for your blessings and protection over them. And we bless Israel in the name of the Lord Jesus tonight. And we bless everyone in this house and all that's near and dear to them in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And we ask for complete household salvation for each and every one in this service. And we say, may the Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. As our brother Gary comes, God bless you. In case you're wondering, the boy tried to assassinate Trump. He run straight through the first security man. I don't know if they're sleeping or what was wrong with him. But the shots and all were fired. They got Trump out and they got him rescued and they captured the boy, whoever he was anyhow. But I know there's a lot of hatred for Trump. People hate his guts big time. But my opinion is God's put him there for a reason. And until he's finished with him, he'll look after him. Not the truth. So may the Lord have his way. God bless you. Maybe I'll try and sing that hymn we sang it last week. Bring them in. See if we can make a better attempt at it.
Bring them in, Marty.